Pastor Pat. As you know, we've been going through the, started last week going through the book of Ephesians, and we encourage each one just sometime this summer, whether you read through it several times or read through it slowly through the summer, just to read through, you know, through the book of Ephesians. One of the best ways to study the Bible is to read it, is to be in it. And to especially like a book of Ephesians, to read it over and let it, not just to read it, but allow it to begin to get inside of us and to understand what it's about. You know, with Grace, I'm going to switch to the PowerPoint. How many have ever seen some kind of tracks on the ground? Not railroad tracks, I mean like animal tracks. Sometimes you can figure it out. Have you ever seen ones that you wondered what that was? I wonder what that animal is. You know, well, some are pretty obvious. You know, like, who knows what that would be? A horse, yes. I mean, we are a zebra, yeah. But yes, that would be a horse, a zebra, yeah. But sometimes there might be a little bit less obvious. So if we see these now, I could give you a hint. You could probably guess. Some of you probably got all kinds of guess what this could be. But if I told you where these were taken, it would help. So sometimes knowing what area we're in. So if I told you this is some kind of bird in Antarctica. A penguin, yes, that we would have penguin. And so those are tracks. But, you know, for each one of us, there's tracks that we have too. There's tracks that we leave. There's tracks in our life. And a lot of times, you know, for us, if somebody was going to track you down by your life, what would your tracks look like? What would they represent? And a lot of times those tracks that we leave are a result of some of the tracks that were left in our life. Yes. By people, by what we've allowed and stuff. And those tracks that are in our life, we have the one blessing, one of the blessings of being a Christian. This is one of really, to me, we have salvation, and we thank God for that. But you know, there's more than just going to heaven. You know, that if we see our Christian life as just an opportunity to go to heaven, we've really missed it. Because there's so much more. It's like somebody giving you a key to a house and you never go live in it. You know, or giving you a key to a safety deposit box that's loaded with a fortune, but you never open it. You know, so we can have a key to heaven, and we get to go to heaven, but that's just part of it. It's you know, the Lord Jesus said the prayer. It says, God, let your heaven be on earth. Let it come to us, and let us enjoy what it's like up in heaven. And there's a scripture in 2 Corinthians that says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. To me, that's one of the greatest blessings we have as a Christian, is that life doesn't have to be the same. We have that opportunity at every moment. There's not like, okay, life from this point, now I've been a Christian for a year, is the same. Or after I've been a Christian for 20 years, life is the same. You know, it's a continual change. There's a continual process that goes on in our life to be like Christ, to be like to the image of Him, and to allow His image to be formed in us. And that is an eternal process that goes on. And so that part of it is such a great blessing, to know that the tracks that are being left in our life, we don't have to leave them there if they're negative. That sometimes is harder. For some, depends on what those tracks and how deep those footprints were made inside of us. But the Holy Spirit can still help us have that new life. No matter what has happened, you know, that to get that in our heart, no matter what imprint, negative imprint has been put in our life, the Holy Spirit can renew us and can bring a new life. And the enemy would like to come in and say, that's not true. You got to walk with this. You know, I like some of the sayings, you know, that it's not that we're looking at wounds, but we're looking at testimonies. You know, when we look back at the footprints in our life, we can testify. It's not denying that those things didn't happen. It's the fact that, yeah, that happened, but God This is where I am now. This is the track. This is the imprint of what's going on in my life. And you know, and the book of Ephesians, what that is about this new life. The Apostle Paul says it's one of the letters that was written to the church. He's not addressing problems. He's not addressing issue. It was written around early 60s AD from prison in Rome. When Paul was in Rome, it's one of the prison epistles, one of the prison letters that he wrote. And he wrote it, but the whole book is more of, hey, church, this is the new life you have in Christ. This is what we need to believe for, what we can have in him. You know, there's one of the things that happened when Paul went and was in Ephesus, which is in Asia, Asia Minor, and he was in Ephesus. He said that he spent a lot of time there. He spent probably more time there than probably most other missionary churches. Now, he spent a lot of time at Antioch, but he went there and established this church, or the Holy Spirit established this church, and they set up elders. But he spent like 2 or 3 years in this town, and he says, and from that, every person in all of Asia heard the gospel. From that point, every person. You know, that's a great goal for us, you know, for our church and for the Church of Marion, that every person in Marion County, Delaware County, Wyandotte County, Hardin County, you know, Morrow County, would hear the gospel message. Isn't that a great, great goal to have? Lifeway Research, which is part of Lifeway bookstores and all that, but Lifeway, they have a research and church growth area, and they said that out of 80% of the people who attend church, that they believe that they're supposed to share the gospel, but the reality is probably less than or over 60-something percent have not done that. They don't share the gospel. That the church is not sharing their faith. And I know Pastor Tom, Pastor Ron, and I have been talking. There's some things we're going to be sharing of just what the Holy Spirit wants to do with our church family to be more progressive in sharing our faith. You know, there's some churches that are really, really geared toward salvation. I mean, that their whole Sunday morning service is totally geared toward the lost. And we pray, we say, well, we believe in sharing the salvation message on Sunday mornings, but we're not totally geared toward that. So we say, okay, Lord, what do you want to do for us to reach the lost, to reach those? And we felt like the Holy Spirit's going to give us, or has given us, some strategies. And some of that really is that it's linked to our view of who do you know that's lost. And for us, that's the community. You know, that you want to reach the community. Well, our community is who do you know? It's not just reaching out to people we have no relationship with, no ideas, but who do you know? And in the next months, that's our process of what we're trying, and I would encourage you to start praying about that, of Lord, who is in my community that you want to reach? Now, he wants to reach everyone, but it's just putting on your heart, begin to pray and believe for that, for God to begin to touch your community of who you know. So last week, Pastor Ron shared a little bit, started us off with Ephesians 1, and there was some main things that he shared that's in there. One of them is Ephesians 1. It says that we have been blessed in the heavenly realms, this is verse 3, with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now that's a lot in that sentence. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. We do not have the mental capability to totally understand what that is. To understand and grasp what all that is. But we do have the Holy Spirit that's willing to tell us and show us what those blessings are. And actually, that's a prayer that I would encourage you guys to pray for yourself and for those that you love and your family, that we would know that. That we would know what are those spiritual blessings. And that's a promise. That's not just a, well, here's something. That's a promise for you to declare that, Lord, you said that you bless me with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And I just welcome that. You know, you don't have to fully understand everything in the scriptures to pray it. You don't have to fully understand what that is to pray it. And just say, Lord, I welcome whatever that is. Let's just stop right now and let's just pray that for ourselves. Let's pray it for ourselves. And say, just pray, Lord, I just welcome every spiritual blessing in Christ in my life. Can you just pray that for yourself right now? Just thank you, Lord. Just welcome that, Father. We welcome that, Father. You know, verse 5 in Ephesians, it said that he predestined us to be adopted as his children. Well, this is God. This is God saying, you know, my whole plan here is that you call me Father. My plan is that you are my children. So that's one of the other blessings that begins in Ephesians. So Paul's starting to roll out, starting to share, or the Holy Spirit is sharing through Paul, that the heart of God, the very presence of what the purpose of God. And then the last, in verse 13, 14, it says, then he gave us the Holy Spirit inside of us to, as a deposit, guaranteeing that inheritance, guaranteeing that adoption, guaranteeing that sense of that relationship, that the Holy Spirit, when you receive Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you. That's what it talks about being born again. Your spirit's dead. The Holy Spirit comes in and brings new life, and it's deposited in us that we have that new life. So those are the first 14 verses that Paul starts off with. And then in verse 15, he says this. He says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people. So in other words, Paul says, okay, now that you know this, now that you know that God wants to give you every spiritual blessing, now that you know that he has from beginning of time wants you to be his child, now that you know that the Holy Spirit dwells within you, for this reason, he says that I am going to pray. He says, first of all, he says in verse 16, he says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. It's so important for us to give thanks for people in our life and not people take people for granted. You know, we are so blessed here. You know, we're blessed with our worship team. We should give thanks for it's good to give thanks for our worship team and them. Giving thanks for, as Ron shared last, for our sound people, you know, and our projection people. You know, people that we don't... People, so many people serve here, our ushers, our greeters, our people we don't see right now, back in the back, our children's ministry teams and our nursery people, you know. I mean, it's great that the nursery people are in there. We don't see them in here, you know, but to give thanks for people. You know, there's something that happens in your life when you give thanks. If we get to a point where we're not being thankful, if you want to change your life every day, give thanks. Stop and give thanks. Because believe me, and you guys know this, the world is, there's not a whole lot of Thanksgiving out there. You know, you just listen and pick up a paper or turn, get online, look at the news or whatever, you know, turn the TV. You don't see a lot of that. And you know, and that just can dry up and suck the life right out of you. And giving thanks, it's like pouring water, fresh water on dry ground. So giving thanks. And so, again, I like to just take a moment and for us to just stop and you think about someone right now in your life that you're going to say, thank you, God, for them. So go ahead. You just take a moment and just thank God for someone in your life who's had influence in some way, who's blessed you in some way. Could be the person right beside you. You just turn to them and say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for the Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You know, it goes on. Then Paul says, he starts telling about these prayers. And again, these are prayers. You know, the scriptures, they weren't just given again to us just to read and go, that's cool. They were given us to live. You know, they were given to us to be like a tools for us. And so Paul's saying, these prayers I'm praying, these aren't exempt. This is the Holy Spirit who wrote this. It wasn't Apostle Paul. He was just the human body who filled this out. The Holy Spirit's the one who put this in his heart. So these prayers are prayers that I would encourage you to pray for those around you. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for those in your life. And this was one of the prayers that says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Have you ever tried to study something and it just got frustrating? You just put it aside. It just was so confusing. You know, it's like, you know, that's not happening. you know, and there's just things that sometimes we hit, and sometimes that could be our whole attitude toward God. It's like, you know, God, this is just too hard. I just don't understand this. You know, it's just too confusing, or I can't figure this out. And Paul's saying, you know, I want to pray that you do understand. Several of us who have read through the scriptures, you've heard the parable that Jesus told. And Jesus actually said, if you don't understand this parable, you're not going to understand anything. And it was a parable of sowing the seed. And he said that the seed went out and the farmer sowed the seed. And some, you know, the birds ate and some didn't have roots and stuff. But the seed that produced a good soil, the seed that did something, that was one of the main elements that helped that produce was understanding. So it's so important for us. This is, again, not just something to sweep under the rug. It's so important for us to ask God, God, help me to understand you. That I just don't sort of sweep God under the rug. You know, and you think, well, I won't do that. Well, we can do that. And that happens when we don't understand and we get frustrated and we don't see how God is relevant to my life or how God is working in my life or God is doing anything in my life and life is just hard. God's not here. I'm just going to sweep him under the rug because I don't understand. I don't understand what he's doing. I don't understand the situation I'm in. I don't understand. And so we just sweep him under there. And that's why understanding, say, God, help us to understand you. Lord, pray that we understand, you know, and it's not just understanding facts. You know, you can replace facts with facts. In fact, it says it's one of those things that's the greatest challenge with a lot of times with Christians, young people who's been raised in the church. They have a lot of facts. But they don't have relationships. They don't have beliefs. They don't have convictions. And he said, and so when they go off to school, you know, and it's not just happening to young people, it happens to adults, it helps to everybody, you know, that if you just have facts and you don't have the convictions and relationships, if some new fact comes along, that's cool, you know, that's interesting or that's exciting, then we let go of those facts and we take on these new facts, new understanding, new beliefs, because they're not inside of us, they're not real. But when we have a relationship, it's a lot harder to replace that relationship. It's a lot harder to change that relationship. So that's why, as Christians, it's not just memorizing and knowing a bunch of facts. It's relationship with God. It's relationship with him. And that's why Paul, you know, the Holy Spirit says, you know, let's pray this. You know, prayer makes a difference. I encourage you, if you're a parent, pray this for your kids. You know, pray that they would know him better and better. You know, the scripture in 1 Corinthians 2:12, it says, spiritual truths cannot be understood with the rational mind. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to understand God. We have America was founded very much as an independent, and there's a real spirit of independence. We don't need anybody. We don't need help. But we do. We need the help of the Holy Spirit if we want to understand the things of God, if we want to understand what he's freely given us. Apostle Paul goes on, so he says, this is the first thing I want to pray that you know him. And then he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. You know, have you ever walked around in darkness and something negative happened? Like hit something or bumped into something, or even if something negative didn't happen, you're trying to find something and it's sort of dark. Anybody ever try to look for something? What happens when the light comes on? It's like, oh, there it is. You know, it's just things are so much more obvious. Well, that's why Apostle Paul is saying this, or the Holy Spirit is saying this. He says, Lord, enlighten their hearts. Lord, help us to see better. Help us to see clearer. Help us to see what you want us to see. You know, sight is a gift from God. And You know, and it is one of those things in the natural, you know, there's so many analogies between the natural that God has put in nature and stuff that relate to the spirit. You know, in the natural, as you get older, sometimes you might need glasses, your sight gets different. Well, you know, it is true that in Christianity, that the longer you walk with God, you might know a lot, but that flame and fire and tenderness to him, you really have to work on that because we begin to take things for granted. That's why he said typically a church that's been established between 1 to 3 years, 1 to 5 years, is much more evangelical. They're sharing their faith. They're out there doing this, but most of the church sharing. But they said by the time a church is 20, 25 years old, probably 10 to 15% of the church even share their faith anymore. I mean, I didn't make that up. That's just what's happening out there. And so it's one of those things for us, as the more we walk with God, we have to make sure our eyesight, make sure that we're keeping that sensitivity and keeping that stirred up, that we just don't take things for granted and we're actually walking in darkness thinking we're in light. That's such a deception to think we're walking in the revelation and walking in the light of God when really we're not at all. We're just walking in our rationale, our own logic, what we believe. So, excuse me. And so he goes on and he says, open their eyes in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. You know, hope, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:1 that hope is the seed of faith. So if we don't have hope, we're not going to have faith. And so there's something about God, open our hearts, take away the darkness, that we can understand this hope, that we can know this. Again, it's, you're not going to figure it out on your own. I'm not going to figure it out on my own. It's not something logically. It's, Lord, help us to understand this hope we have, a hope that would through history. You know, it's so good to look at historic Christianity. You know, there's something very solid and helps us root our faith when we see what's going on. Same thing with people who belong to a family. When you belong to a family, you know your heritage, especially if it's a good heritage and stuff, that there's something solid and something that builds that courage and faith. Same thing with Christianity. To look back and see our forefathers and the people who saw hope, as you read in Hebrews chapter 11, they saw something that propelled them to go through all kinds of stuff in life, to propel them to keep going when it was like hopeless, keep going when they were physically going to be killed, keep going when life wasn't the way it is, keep going when things didn't work out. There was something about that kept him going. And that's what he's saying, Lord, help us to see that hope, which is Jesus, which is the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. Help us to see that hope is what he was saying. And he goes, and also, Lord, help us to see the hope which he called you, which you know, that to me also would include what has he called you to do in life? Now, you know, I believe God, when you were born, there's giftings and talents in us. They were here already destined and created us. It's up to us what we do with them. And so there's those leanings and those things we like and everything. That's just part of who we are. But there's a sense of us seeing that and seeing not just what I do, but what's life about. You know, there's a whole thing. If all we do is think life is about what we do, we miss something. It's about what is life and what is the essence of life and relationship. So he said, Lord, help him see that. And he says, to riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Now, you know, if I told you that you had this massive inheritance and it's setting over in some place, and how many would probably go get it? If you had this massive, you'd probably go get it. Because why? Because you know it probably would improve your life. If I said, hey, there's $5 million sitting over here and here's the key and stuff, and you think, well, thanks, and you never do anything about it. But if I say that, the reason you would go there is because you know your life will probably be improved. Well, you know, that's what he's saying. He's saying, you know, God, help them to see what I've done for them. Lord, the Holy Spirit, what God has done for us, what our inheritance is his, what all the blessings are we have as Christians. Help us to see that. A lot of those are found right here. A lot of those, if you want to understand your inheritance, read this. You know, be in the scriptures. You know, find out what God's told us, you know. And the treasure, you got a treasure map? If I told you there was inheritance in here, You know, you're going to have to read these pages to find out what that is. Most of you would do that. Most of you would go and read those pages, you know. But the thing is this is an eternal inheritance. It's not just temporal. And he goes on and he says, and help us to understand that, to understand the inheritance, but also to understand the power that he's given us. You know, God has given us the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:8, the Bible says that he gave the Holy Spirit. He says, Jesus told the disciples, stay here till I give you the Holy Spirit so you can be my witnesses. Now, so much of the time what I've discovered is people immediately turn that around, that means signs, wonders, and miracles. That's how I'm going to be a witness, and I'm going to be signs, wonders, and miracles. But you know, you just having hope as a Christian is a sign, wonder, and miracle. You just being thankful is a sign, wonder, and miracle. You know, just the fact that you have a healthy relationship or know what life is about and have joy is a sign, wonder, and miracle. You know, and that doesn't take us away from those other things. We do believe in those other things because that's part of it. It's not like you have to trade off anything. But don't just totally believe it's just this and not this. And so that power that he gave us is that power for us to believe, to live the Christian life, to have those things, to see in the midst of a situation, to forgive is a sign, wonder, and miracle. And these are just essence of why he gave us the Holy Spirit. So Paul's saying, God, help them to see all this. That's what he's praying. Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit, remember, wrote this. He wasn't going to tell us to pray something that he wasn't going to answer or he's not going to do. So that's a promise we can have. We can step out on that with faith saying, God, you said this, and so I'm believing it. You're going to help me to understand. You're going to give me revelation. How many times when the girls were little, even now, I say, God, help us understand how to be a parent, you know. It never stops. Help us understand the situation, you know, in a relationship. And so we have that. He promised that. And then he goes on and talks about this power which brought Jesus back from the dead. And it has power over all things. He says this power is as far above all rule, authority. It's exerted. He says this power is as far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. So he's saying, you know, there's not going to be anybody greater ever, no power ever created, no nuclear power, no power, scientific power, nothing that man can create, no title, no essence. We were watching, last week, the NCAA track finals. I don't know if you watch any of that and stuff, so it was pretty cool, and I'm going to get all that. But, you know, there's a lot of great athletes out there. But, you know, the Bible's saying that we have a power that's greater than all the athletes, all that we can have. There's a power that we have in through Christ. It's all, again, through Christ. It's not that we just get this away from him. Everything we have is by the grace we have through Jesus Christ. Every single ounce of our Christian faith, every blessing is through Jesus Christ. So it is important, which if I'm going to ask the musicians come back up, that we do worship him and we do honor him. And if you want to say thank you to one person every day, just thank him. Say, God, Jesus, thank you for loving me. You know, the longer I walk as a Christian, the more I understand Apostle Paul when after all the years, all the things he's been through, all the churches he's planted, miracles after miracles, raising people from the dead, all the stuff that happened, how he could continue to say, when he wrote to Timothy, he says, I, Paul, chief among sinners. He understood this great mercy that he had. And Paul, if you read his lifestyle, if you talk about a religious person, I mean, he wasn't like he was out there and you know, living all this sinful life. He says, according to the law, he goes, he was righteous. He did everything according to the Bible, at least on the outward part. He was doing the things he was supposed to do. But he saw that great grace. Lord, if it wasn't for you, I'd be nothing. If it wasn't for you, I'd be lost. If it wasn't for you. You know, if we get caught up in thinking all the things we don't have, it's a miserable life. But when we start thinking, God, I thank you for where I am, that I live, and I am here today. And maybe I don't have this and that and all this is going on and stuff, but God, I have you and I have eternity. So there's something about that. You know, the Bible says that God placed all things under Jesus' feet and appointed him to be head over everything in the church. This is Ephesians 1, 22, 23, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Now, I know today, if you look, it doesn't look like everything's under his feet, does it? Does it look like everything's under? No, it doesn't. But by God's perspective, Jesus is the head, and he's Lord. And he does allow this free will to go on, and all this stuff goes on down here. But, you know, bottom line, where that placing under his feet, you know where it starts? Right here, with me. Am I submitted to you, God? Am I allowing my life to be led by you? Am I allowing you to be head and you to be Lord over my life? Am I allowing that? You know, you could just look at culture, all the stuff that's going on out there. But, you know, that bringing everything under his feet has to start with the church. It's not the world. We depend on the world to be under his feet if the church isn't even under his feet. Under him in a sense of serving him. You know, there's no one greater, no one more loving that we can serve and give our life to than Jesus Christ and give part of him. If we could go ahead and stand. We serve a God that is God. And we worship a Lord that is Lord. And not just for 4 years that's been elected, or 2 years, but eternity. And we get that great privilege of getting to have that relationship. So I'm going to welcome and ask for each one of us this day to freshly commit. Say, Lord, I just place myself under your care. And I submit my life under you, God, under your feet. So if that's something you'd be willing, if you just put your hand over your heart, and that you yourself, I'm not going to pray this for you, but you yourself say, Lord, I just submit my life to you. If you just pray that yourself, then Lord, I just submit my life to you afresh. We thank you, God. We thank you. We thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we do welcome that you would help us to know you better, that you would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we could know you better, that you would enlighten our hearts and remove the darkness, God, the darkness from things and from our past and prints that others have tried to put inside of us that's brought any form of darkness, God. That you would remove that, Lord, or even our own self, Lord, our own mindsets and things that we believe that really aren't enlightened of you. Just welcome you, Holy Spirit, to remove those things. Lord, that we can know the hope for which you've called us. Lord, that we can just embark in and enjoy that inheritance that you've given us, and that we might walk in your power, God. Power through Christ by the Holy Spirit. We just welcome that in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask if our personal ministry team would come forward and be here. These ones will be available to pray with you. If you've never made a commitment to Christ, never really submitted your life to him or received him as your Savior, these ones can pray with you about that. What they pray with you up here is confidential. You're not going to read it in the bulletin next week or see it on Facebook or Fox News or something. So if you want prayer about anything, they're willing to pray with you. But go and be the church. Take a few moments before you take off today and find some ones you don't know again and spend a few minutes to talk to them. But God bless you and be the body of Christ.